Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Cheap gas is on the way tomorrow. I'll tell you about it coming right up. Hello, fellow patriots. Greetings, welcome, salutations, Tuesday alohas to you. You're just in time. There's one more remaining. It is the bonus hour of the Bobby Mack Show, and it is now underway. And you can join in and be part of the conversation just by grabbing the phone using the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Or if you prefer to send me a text message, just use the CSRP, that is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address remains bob@1063word.com. About the texter who asked about an email address from Mark Levin, I've not seen one. I've seen he's at Twitter, and he's on Facebook, which the texter said he was not on. But I've been unable to find an email address. Well, I'll just send him an email, send a message along through the show provider and get Mark Levin's email address and pass that along. Meantime, I mentioned cheap gas tomorrow. How cheap? 47 cents a gallon off the pump price tomorrow. My friend Dave Schwartz and the folks at Fan of SC, Freedom Action Network of South Carolina, will be at the Eagles gas station tomorrow morning starting at 7. They are celebrating, sardonically said, on Wednesday, July 1st, the passage of the gas tax, the single biggest tax in the history of South Carolina. It was implemented 4 years ago today. Now, if you would like to let them know that you were coming, that you're planning on being there tomorrow to get 47 cents off, and you can get a maximum of 15 gallons per driver, which represents approximately a 47 cent per gallon reduction, text that number, 47, to 52886. You'll get a bounce-back message from Fan of SC, just alerting them that, I plan on being there tomorrow. And I would suggest being there early because, as we've done this in the past for a number of years now, in fact, this may be the fourth year that we have done this particular event, then you are going to be on the list, and so they'll know that you're going to be there. All right. Again, text the number 47 to 52886 and let them know that you're going to be there. The Eagles gas station is at 7 Pelham Road. If you're coming up and you turn right onto East North Street, and you come up to the Y where Pelham Road celebrates off to the right, separates off to the right, they are just after you make that right-hand turn onto Pelham Road from East North Street, you'll see them on the left-hand side, all right? And you'll also see the cars lined up. I'm sure that'll be a key indicator that you're in the right place, all right? Let's see, is George our leadoff batter? Oh, George is gone. Okay, great. That gives me an opportunity to talk about some other things. I just got this, and I know that a lot of parents who have kids that take part in sports in Greenville County schools are wondering, you know, here we are with everything on hold. What's the deal? And I just got an email from Tim Waller. Tim is a former anchor and reporter at YFF and is now the director of media relations. That's a common thing. Reporters end up moving over and becoming a spokesperson or a flack for the city or the county. Tim Waller writes, media friends, we've been getting a lot of calls from parents about the recent suspension of summer sports. I've attached an article that contains many helpful answers. I've also copied it below. Please note, the article contains a great quote from our superintendent, Dr. Burke Royster. Please let me know if I can answer any further questions. Let me quickly, before I do anything else, let me forward this to you, Miss Moneypenny, so that you can post it on our Facebook page, so people who may not be listening now can access it later and can get all of the details on that. And it's on its way, flying through cyberspace even as I speak, Moneypenny. So here's some of the text. When will summer sports practices resume? It's the million-dollar question. When will student-athletes be allowed to continue summer practice now that Greenville has been designated a COVID-19 hotspot, bum, 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 by DHEC? Answer, non-answer. When it is safe, in accord with the recommendations and advice of the medical and public health officials. Last week, DHEC released a 4-page fact sheet to help school districts determine the risk of exposing students to the Wuhan flu. The metrics pull from 3 different categories: number of cases in the last 2 weeks per 100,000 population, case direction decreasing, stable, or increasing, and the number of positive results out of individual tests. Each category is assigned a label of low, medium, or high. Then all 3 categories are combined for an average. 2 lows and 1 medium indicate a low spread. 1 low and 2 mediums is a medium spread. 2 mediums and 1 high are also medium, while 1 medium and 2 highs signals a high rate of spread. Got all that? On the day these metrics were released, Greenville County ranked high in all 3 categories with the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases increasing. We had no choice but to temporarily suspend all summer sports activities. You had no choice? Okay. Suspending practices was extremely disappointing because we were doing the right things, said Daryl Nance, Director of Athletics for GCS. Nance said students, coaches, and especially parents went above and beyond in making sure safety guidelines from the South Carolina High School League were followed. But after 3 days of practice, COVID-19 cases in Greenville County spiked, though none of the cases involved students or their coaches. So in other words, nobody that they are preventing from practicing had any negative impact from the 3 days of practice. We were in an increasing COVID-19 environment with high transmission rates, and the county ranked high in all 3 categories. Ultimately, it wasn't worth the risk to continue summer practice, Nance said. The memo continues, the reality is this. If school was scheduled to begin tomorrow, in-person classes would be out of the question under these current conditions. The school year would start with virtual classes only, and if that were the case, other student activities, including fall sports, would be canceled! Exclamation point. The good news is we still have a chance to change things for the better. DHEC has promised to update the spread rate of COVID-19 each week. Here comes the pitch for more masks, I'm sure. Yeah, here we go. It is vital that we take the appropriate actions now, as recommended by the medical and public health professionals, to minimize spread and reverse the rapidly increasing number of cases in our community and state. Reversing this disturbing trend is now essential for a return to a regular school setting in August and to allow for a fall sports season, said Dr. W. Burke Royster, superintendent. Greenville County Schools is closely monitoring all conditions and will review our decision each time DHEC releases new county-level data. Until then, we will adhere to the scientifically based, Fauci says, and medically proven metrics DHEC has provided to school districts. We must do better if our goal was to return to some semblance of normal. or Governor Henry McMaster would preach, wear your mask. Wear your mask. If you want to make South Carolina butter, wear your mask. Got that? Okay. 16 after 6. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. 6:21 here on the Bobby Mack Show, the fourth and final, the bonus hour here on this Tuesday afternoon. Meantime, Chaz, the autonomous zone, now renamed CHOP in Seattle, continues to be a murder central. They're going to have to really step up their game, though, if they're going to catch up to Chicago. This from Zero Hedge today. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best asked why two African Americans were dead at a place that claimed to be working for Black Lives Matter after a 16-year-old teenager was killed inside the CHOP police-free zone. A 19-year-old man was shot dead, another wounded, during an incident in the area 2 weekends ago. This was followed by a similar incident in the early hours of Monday, which left a 16-year-old dead and a 14-year-old critically wounded. During a press conference, where she was heckled throughout by BLM supporters, God, they're so vile, Police Chief Carmen Best said, "It's very unfortunate that we have yet another murder in this area identified as the CHOP, two African-American men dead, at a place where they claim to be working for Black Lives Matter." Yeah. And meantime, the head of the Seattle Police Union is also speaking out. What was once a fringe element of socialist political pandering is now becoming a mainstream in Seattle at the risk of its residents, said Seattle Police Officers Guild President Michael Solon today. He was on Fox and Friends with Ainsley Earhart. He said, "Violent crime in the city's Capitol Hill organized protest, the autonomous zone known as CHOP, is an example of what happens when elected leadership allows an area of their community to be police-free." And he said, "It's another example surrounding the conversations which elected officials and politicians across this nation are supporting when we talk about defunding the police." Several prominent Democrat leaders, like L.A.'s Mayor Eric Garcetti, another lunatic, have already taken strides to defund their departments amid nationwide protests against police brutality. On Friday, the Minneapolis City Council unanimously approved a proposal to eliminate the city's police department in the hopes of establishing a new, quote, holistic approach to public safety, which I guess means you're sitting peacefully in your home, like that couple in St. Louis, the Antifa or BLM types or whichever of these anarchists show up at your front door and break in and demand, I don't know, reparations or whatever, or maybe they're just there to rape your kids. You call 911, not to worry. They'll send right over someone with an advanced degree, maybe even a doctorate, reasoning with these people. They'll send over a social worker that will be able to explain to these people the error of their ways and how violence is wrong, even though those on the left have said that what's been going on, violence, is not really bad because it's only destroying property. Well, not in the CHOP. It's not just destroying property. It's killing people. The Seattle Police Union chief recognized that what happened in Minneapolis was shocking and that reform is necessary, but disagreed that defunding would solve problems. And the first thing to go when we talk about defunding the police is the training budget. What separates good cops from bad is training. And what we need right now is more funding and more training and more police officers, and we need to re-engage, reimagine policing when it comes to reconnecting with our communities across not only just Seattle, but across the nation. Not only is our country divided, but police, we're still in shock about what occurred in Minneapolis, and that type of action shouldn't be allowed in any form of human interaction, regardless if it's just police or just other citizens. He said on Fox that while his union demands justice for what occurred, the next steps for America's police forces are to reconnect back with their community policing engagement. I'm old enough to remember when we had cops that walked a beat in a neighborhood. And now we went to, two officers in a car? Adam 12? That old TV show? Now we got what? One officer in a car? And they ride through the neighborhood. They can't know anybody, like when you're walking a beat. I think the Emerald Protection Plan, which we came up with, we're looking to re-engage as far as what we came up with a concept of a la carte policing. And he goes on from there, trying to find a middle ground. There is no negotiating with these people. Doesn't work that way. Meantime, in New York, the commie who is the mayor there, Bill de Blasio, how's that working out for you there in Gotham? He wants to cut, what was it? Some huge amount of money from the police department, including doing away with the hardcore crimes unit, the special victims unit that deals with assaults on families and children, abusive children. God. Yeah, that's going to be real good. That's a real good idea. Do away the cops and have social workers come out. One other note from the PC culture, from the sports page. Washington Redskins head coach Ron Rivera, you remember he used to be the head coach of the Panthers, addressed recent calls, this has been going on forever, for the team to change its name as national reckoning over racism has pressured the franchise to make a move. Rivera, who took over the job in Washington in January after being fired by the Carolina Panthers, was asked during an interview on Monday about his stance on changing the Redskins' name. It's all about the moment and the timing, Rivera said, but I'm just somebody that's from a different era when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. That's one of the tough things, too. I've always wanted to keep that separate. People have wanted me to get in politics while I'm coaching, and I keep telling them it's not for me to get up there and influence people. I have my beliefs. I know what I think. I support the movements, support the players. I believe in what they're doing. There are certain elements to certain things. It's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things. It's not for me to get up there and influence people. Well, then why has he said that he thinks that these players kneeling is a good thing? Is that not getting up there and influencing people? But look, you know, he's got to go along to get along. They all do. Head coach of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien, said, yeah, he's going to kneel with the players. Great, go right ahead, coach. I won't be there to see it, even on TV. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Little Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side because the last half of the bonus hour is still to come here on Tuesday. Link Ray Rumble. Welcome back. 6:36 now, 24 before 7 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Thanks for patiently waiting as we go back to the phones. Eugene is along in Pauline. Hello, Eugene. How are you this evening?
Doing great, Bob.
Excellent.
I was going to tell you something, ask you something about the virus, but I was going real quick the other day. I don't know if you heard it, where they asked the Black Lives Matter person what they wanted done to stop all this. And he said, I want you to make all these people employable. And I said, dude, that ain't the government's responsibility. Really? You know, that's how you get out there and go to school and, you know, learn something. And that's not the government's job. People want the government to do everything.
Yeah, you know, it would fall into the category of having some personal incentive.
Responsibility.
And some incentive to improve your lot in life. You know, but because there's so much misunderstanding. They apparently believe, by they I mean the left, that the Constitution guarantees them a living, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not the guarantee of it. Nobody's life is full of, nobody's life is full of happiness all the time. Nobody that I know anyway, me included, but is there any better country on the face of the earth to have the opportunity to employ the pursuit of happiness?
Nowhere. Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to get down to what I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
You got all these hot spots. You got them in Texas and everywhere.
Right.
Didn't they say back before, Bob, that we had that COVID back then, and then the heat would come, and it would die down, and then it would come back in the fall? Well, Bob, it's been hot as 80s.
Yeah, right.
I just come back from Texas. They say Texas is a hot spot. Oh, my gosh, it was hot as blue blazes out there. How come it ain't killing it?
Yeah, good question. And well, maybe that assumption was wrong on its face, like every other assumption we've gotten from World Health Organization, CDC, Dr. Fauci, 2.2 million Americans are going to... Here's a salient point. They want to talk about the increased number of cases, the number of positives, right? What are we trying to protect ourselves from here with COVID-19? Isn't it being killed by this virus? Isn't that the ultimate goal, to prevent people being killed by this virus? So if that's the case, then how come with all these increased positive tests, much of which is a result of increased testing by a multiple of I don't even know how much, how come with all of these increased positives, the rate of fatalities is going down? Why is that? And why does the media never talk about that?
And how many of those fatalities are really true COVID deaths because they were faking them before? Who says they're not faking them now?
Right. And sadly, a substantial percentage of these Wuhan flu deaths, a mammoth percentage, come from nursing homes, people who are 75 and over. If you look at the numbers of people 18 and under, or 18 to 24, it's minuscule. And now they're talking about increased numbers of young people. Yeah, increased by, you know, what, 1% or something? But, you know, they're gonna skew the story to make it sound as dramatic and as horrific as they possibly can in order to get all the sheep lined up, put on our masks, and all go, bleh, bleh.
Well, tell me one more thing, Bob. How could New York have more cases than anywhere, and now they're not a hot spot?
Yeah, that's curious.
Things doesn't add up.
No.
Makes you wonder.
It does make you shake my head, as they say. Thanks, Eugene. Good to hear from you.
Have a good day.
You too, sir. 6:41, 19 before 7. Here's another case in point. Dare to tell the truth. Use facts to tell the truth and see what happens to your career. Michigan State University leaders have successfully pressured Stephen Sue, HSU, to resign from his position as VP of Research and Innovation after the Graduate Employees Union launched a campaign to oust him from his role. Now, why do you think they want this guy out? Well, as I just said, he used actual facts to make a point in his research, and it flies in the face of the socialist Marxist agenda, and so he's out. This after the union, which represents teaching and research assistants, crawled through years of blog posts and interviews Sue had conducted and criticized him for sharing content on genetic differences among different races, commonly known as science, or real science. But the main thrust to oust Sue came because the professor touted Michigan State research that found police are not more likely to shoot African Americans. The story is at a website called The College Fix that keeps an eye on these pinheads in the ivory towers of academia. The professor told The College Fix via email, "The victory of the Twitter mob will likely have a chilling effect on academic freedom on campus." Well, that's what they want. There's no place for truth anymore on campi across America. There is only room for one message, and that is the message of the commies. The union had taken advantage of a BLM-linked hashtag #ShutdownSTEMDay on June 10th to help oust him. Sue stepped down from his vice president role on June 19th after pressure from the union and the president of the university, another gutless wonder, Samuel Stanley. Sue will stay on as a physics professor at Michigan State. The union also criticized a petition against Sue that accused him of scientific racism. There's a new one that garnered over 800 signers, all idiots. An open letter signed by more than 500 faculty and staff at Michigan State argued the professor supports the idea that intelligence is linked to genetics. A counter petition in his support gained more than 1,000 signers, including many fellow professors from across the country. Quote, "To remove this professor from holding controversial views or for inquiring about controversial topics or for simply talking to controversial personalities would also set a dangerous precedent inconsistent with the fundamental principles of modern, enlightened higher education." Are you kidding? That doesn't even exist anymore. That's on the endangered species list. As for the claim of scientific racism, Sue rejected that on his personal website, saying, "I believe that basic human rights and human dignity derive from our shared humanity, not from uniformity in ability or genetic makeup." The union also criticized Sue's promotion of a study that found there's no racial bias in police shootings. "We found that the race of the officer doesn't matter when it comes to predicting whether black or white citizens are shot." According to the Michigan State-based research, Sue had quoted that drew the ire of many. Sue said the attacks against him are baseless. These people allege that I am a racist because I interviewed MSU psychology professor Joe Cesario, who studies police shootings. But his work, along with similar work by others, such as Roland Fryer at Harvard, we shouldn't have mentioned him, now he's going to be a target as well, is essential to understanding deadly force and how to improve policing. "We had no idea," he told the Wall Street Journal, "what the data was going to be, what the outcome was going to be before we did the study." His research, cited in a widely shared Wall Street Journal op-ed headline, "The Myth of Systemic Police Racism," published June 3rd. So he's gone. He's out. There goes his job as VP. You can stay on and teach physics. Just keep a low profile. Stick to the physics and leave the politics to us. We got the politics fully under control. God. You know, there was a time when universities were a place for the free exchange of ideas. Not anymore. Gone with the wind. Oh, can't say that. Sorry. 6:47, 13 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Welcome back. Just a couple of minutes remaining here in the Tuesday edition of the Bobby Mac Show. So we talked about the situation with the Michigan State University professor, and he's hardly the only one who has been fired for saying something that is politically incorrect. And what's really tragic in these situations is there are other people that have been fired who didn't do anything, had nothing to do with what's going on in topical events, like Melissa Rolfe, fired from her job in what she claims is a political move because her stepson is former Atlanta police officer Garrett Rolfe. In an interview today with Fox News, Melissa Rolfe spoke in detail about what happened after Garrett Rolfe was criminally charged for the fatal shooting of Rayshard Brooks on June 12th. Apart from the ongoing criminal case, Melissa Rolfe lost her job on June 18th. She was the human resources director at Equity Prime Mortgage in Atlanta. Now, the company has said this was due to creating a hostile work environment. She maintained she was fired because of her relationship to her stepson. It was a political move, she said, who has firmly stood by her stepson and said the war on police officers must end. Melissa Rolfe started at Equity Prime Mortgage in February as the human resources director for the company's nearly 400 nationwide employees. Immediately after Brooks' death, Rolfe was assured she had the company's support. Equity Prime Mortgage's president, Eddie Perez, called, offered Rolfe 6 to 8 weeks of paid time off so she could be with her family. I offered to work from home, and he said, no, don't worry about it. Your job is safe. Just take care of your family. But the company's support quickly evaporated. On June 18th, the day after a Georgia district attorney slapped Rolfe with 11 charges. After Rolfe and her husband had just dropped off their son at the attorney's office to turn himself into authorities, she had a 56-second call with her direct manager who said that she was being terminated and didn't provide any reason. Yeah. There you go. Bad situation we're in. See you tomorrow. Have a great evening. God bless.
Who was that masked man anyways?
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beats you?
Yep. I wonder who he was.
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beats you?
Yep.
I wonder how all this would sound on instant replay.
I don't know. Why don't you try it?
Okay.
Who was that masked man anyways?
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beats you?
Yep. I wonder who he was.
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beats you?
Yep.
I wonder how all this would sound on instant replay.
I don't know. Why don't you try it?
Okay.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.